Hi, I'm Joel Garcia. Welcome to the Pop Culture Shuffle. On today's show, we're making Fetch a thing. First up, I'm talking about the original Mean Girls film. Then, my thoughts on the 2024 film musical that just came out. But first, let's talk cinema. With the recent release of the musical adaptation of Mean Girls, I wanted to briefly discuss the original film first. In 2004, Paramount released Mean Girls, a film written by Tina Fey of Saturday Night Live fame and starring Lindsay Lohan. It is about Katie Heron moving back to America and attending high school after having lived in Africa with her parents. To her amazement, she discovers the school is divided into certain groups, with the most powerful one being the Plastics, led by Regina George. When she invites Katie to join their group, she is told by her new friends, who are considered outcasts, to take them down. Will she be able to do so? Or become what she swore to destroy? When it originally came out, I never saw it. It's weird how I unintentionally skipped out on this film, considering the talent that worked on it. Tina Fey is one of my favorite SNL cast members, while Lindsay Lohan was in two fantastic remakes of Disney's The Parent Trap and Freaky Friday. Even odder is that both Freaky and Mean Girls were directed by the same guy, Mark Waters. The fact that I wound up skipping out on a major zeitgeist of the 2000s is so bizarre to me. It would be like discovering the Beatles right after they broke up, or not realizing the Super Bowl is on TV. For years, my friends would regularly talk about the film, imploring me to watch it. And there were several times in which I tried to watch it, but either I start watching it and get immediately interrupted, or in one case, saw the ending first. They also wanted to do something similar with John Wick, but I have no interest in seeing that film. I'm just not a Keanu fan. It also comes down to the fact that I just have a lack of interest in high school teen comedies. I've never been a fan of the genre, not even when I was part of the targeted demographic for them. The very few I've watched all had some fantastical twist, such as the aforementioned Freaky Friday, High School Musical, and 17 Again. The only normal ones I can say I've liked were Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Juno, even though the former is set in the 80s and the latter is about teen pregnancy. I did eventually get to see Mean Girls, a decade and a half too late. Whereas my friends found the film to be utterly hilarious, I found it boring. Now, there were a few things I liked about it. It visually looks like it was set in the early 2000s, from the bright colors to the music. The cinematography was really good, the acting was great, especially those in bit roles such as Amy Poehler and Tim Robbins, of course, who also worked on Saturday Night Live with Tina Fey. However, I found the jokes funnier when they were removed from the film, such as Get In Loser, We're Going Shopping became a meme on its own. The only times I legitimately laughed with the film were the ESPN joke and Regina getting hit by a bus. Another reason I probably disliked the film is that I actually saw the sequel beforehand. Yes. There is a Mean Girls 2. Briefly, it came out in 2011 and premiered on what is now Freeform. At best, it is the Grease 2 of the Mean Girls franchise. The only other thing I wanted to point out is that it was not worth the 50 cents I paid for the DVD at the swap meet. Going back to the original, Mean Girls is a film that has somehow stood the test of time after all these years. It continues to be referenced to this very day in some form or another, from trying to make Fetch a Thing to the infamous Burn Book. It is one of the signature teen comedies of the 2000s, right alongside Superbad, She's the Man, and Bring It On. It also sadly seems to be the only non-Disney production that Lindsay Lohan is well known for. Sure, she's appeared in other films, but when was the last time anyone talked about her roles in films such as Labor Pains, Georgia Rule, A Prairie Home Companion, or that weird MTV show she did about a beach club? If you're someone who grew up loving Mean Girls, more power to you. To me, it's just another forgettable teen comedy that just didn't appeal to me, and that's perfectly fine. In a moment, my thoughts on the musical film adaptation of Mean Girls. Between the original film's release and the aforementioned sequel, the film was eventually adapted into a musical also written by Tina Fey. I was briefly aware of it mostly through a performance at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, as well as an SNL sketch when Tina Fey came back to host. Otherwise, I mostly ignored it, until it was announced it would be getting a film adaptation. In fact, it was supposed to come out to Paramount Plus, but at some point in time became a theatrical release, similar to, say, House Party and Blue Beetle. Now, the first thing to note about the 2024 Mean Girls film musical, it is not a remake of the original film. It isn't like, say, oh, the Lady Gaga film A Star Is Born is a remake of the Judy Garland film of the same name. Technically, the film is an adaptation of the musical, based on the film, that's inspired by a book. And some of you are probably just realizing that Mean Girls was based on the book. To be more specific, Rosalind Wiseman's Queen Bees and Wannabes. If that sounds confusing, well, later this year, get ready for Wicked, a film based on a musical based on the book of the same name, as well as The Wizard of Oz and its original book. The musical film essentially follows the exact same premise, but with singing. There are other changes which range from major to minute, such as Katie not having a single parent, the integration of social media into the narrative, as this now takes place in the 2020s as opposed to the early 2000s, as well as the ending. I came into this film with the lowest of expectations, probably lower than The Flash. At least when I went to see that film, I knew it would not be any good due to the chaos that went through production. With this musical, I just wanted to see it so I could tell my friends if it was better or worse than the original film. To my absolute surprise, it was really good. I didn't like the original film. I found it boring. But then I saw this film and really liked it. A lot of the lines were legitimately funny. Most of the film is still based on the original film, but some jokes are switched out, or in some cases just completely cut out. For example, in the original film, there is this one-off joke about Katie in which one of the plastics asks her if she's from Africa, why is she white? That joke is completely dropped in the musical. And as I said, there are changes made to comedy for the presence of social media. And the one I really liked, and it's one that frankly upset me when I watched the film a few years ago, which was the idea of the burn book. I remember once writing on Tumblr that nowadays the burn book would just be someone's Twitter account, or social media in general. Now, the film still does have the burn book in a physical form, but it goes somewhere else with the idea. In the original film, the burn book is spread throughout the school by just having one of the characters copy and scan all the pages. And while that could still work nowadays, it seems less likely for it to happen considering that, well, if you were to put up something somewhere, they'd take it down. Instead, the film goes in a different direction and actually uses social media to help with that. And I'm not going to give it away how they do it, but it's frankly much better and easier. I really liked how the film integrated social media into the narrative, especially considering that it could have gone for something like, say, oh, a fake Twitter service or fake Facebook, But no, it went for TikTok. And it's just really fun seeing how TikTok is used in a narrative. It also somewhat explains the bizarre aspect ratio change in the film, because for the most part, the film stays at a consistent aspect ratio, but whenever it needs the characters to talk on their phones or record a TikTok video, the film shifts to a vertical aspect ratio, which can be seen as annoying, especially when you're watching it on a big screen, because you're watching the film, and all of a sudden, all of the action is compressed to this tiny rectangular slit of the screen. It's not as frequent as it happens throughout the film, but it does get annoying. Although I do like it when, in some moments, you see the vertical shot, and then it opens up. Especially the way they do it in the opening. When it comes to the acting in this film, I feel it would be unfair to try and compare and contrast with performances from the other film, considering, of course, my dislike of the original film. I will say this about the cast. There are a lot of returning cast members for this film. Not as many as you would think, but some of them did work on the musical, and in two cases, on the original film. Tina Fey and Tim Meadows reprised their roles from the first film. Tina Fey as the math teacher, Ms. Norbury, and Tim Meadows as Principal Duval. In fact, Tim Meadows is the only actor to appear in all three Mean Girl films, as he also played the principal in Mean Girls 2. Two other actors also reprise their roles from the musical. Ashley Park plays the French teacher, and she actually played the role of Gretchen in the stage musical. At least that's what Wikipedia tells me. And Renee Rapp plays Regina George, and she had previously played the character from 2019 to 2020. Now, when it comes to Renee Rapp, she just makes Regina George the ultimate monster when it comes to high school. She plays her as this really crazy psychopath who can somehow get away with everything she does, even when she's supposed to be at her lowest. I feel that Rapp just gives it all in her role as Regina, and that might be because she previously played the role, so she has some experience from beforehand, but she just steals the film, ironically enough, which is nothing to say negatively about Angourie Rice's Katie Heron. Of course, if you're someone who watched the original film, you're going to try and compare her unfairly to Lindsay Lohan. To her credit, Angourie Rice does not portray Katie as Lindsay Lohan. At no point did she try and act like Lindsay Lohan. She's not playing Lindsay Lohan, she's playing a character named Katie Heron. Another actor I think who really stands out in this film is Auli Cravalho, who plays the character of Janice Mike. A character that, in the original film, was Janice Ian. Now, I don't recall much about that film, but here, she's still played as, say, the outcast who tries to take down Regina through Katie. And it's really impressive how Cravalho does a great job as this character. And if you don't know who Cravalho is, she's appeared in a lot of other productions. But most notably, she's the voice of Moana in the Disney animated film of the same name, and more recently, starred on the Disney Channel series, Hayley's On It. This film just shows the range she can do. Like, she can go from being, the usual quirky girl, to someone who essentially can be pissed off. Now, of course, the issue might come down to when you hear the actor sing, since again, with Cravalho, if you're someone who grew up listening to Moana, and you hear her sing, you're gonna be thinking, wait, why is Moana here? Now, of course, for me, I didn't make that connection until later. In fact, it wasn't until I looked up the credits for this film I realized, oh wait, that's the same person from Moana and Hayley's On It. Oh, and if you're wondering, no, they don't make any references to Moana. There are, of course, other characters and actors I can bring up, such as Jaquel Spivey, who plays Damien Hubbard, who is just enjoying chewing up the scenery. But in a good way. And then there's also John Hamm, who plays Coach Carr, the PE teacher. And the nicest thing I can say about his performance is he just plays himself. It's just John Hamm as John Hamm. When it comes to the music, I have to admit, it was really good. And to me, the biggest thing that helped make this film better than the original. Or at least, much more entertaining in my opinion. There's something just so great about hearing these characters sing their hearts out. The film also plays around with the usual concept of, oh, if you're seeking, time stops around you or nobody pays attention to you. Because there are certain moments in which, oh, sure, everyone stops doing what they're doing, or maybe in some cases, they're partially stopped. Or my favorite case, the moment in which Regina gets hit by a bus. The character is singing and dancing, but the entire interaction between Regina and Katie still happens. And if you're wondering, yeah, the moment is somewhat downplayed because whereas in the original film, you saw the two fighting and arguing with each other until she gets hit by a bus, but the musical takes it a different direction in which we follow another character singing and dancing, but we see the two arguing inaudibly. In fact, I think the way they shot it in this film is much more harder and more unexpected than the original film. Since in the original film, it was much more of a close-up, in which, yeah, the bus comes out of nowhere, but like, it's just so unexpected. Whereas in the musical, you're thinking, we're still following this character, but then the bus comes in! While I did find the original film boring, that one scene of Regina getting hit by a bus was hilarious, and I was so glad the musical film kept that. I could bring up some more changes, since according to Wikipedia, in the process of adapting the musical back into a film, they had to cut out a lot of things. And I will say this about the way the musical ends compared to the original film. The original film had the usual cliche epilogue for high school, whereas the musical ends on a much earlier note. It's still part of the original film's narrative, but that last portion of the film is completely dropped. I'm not going to say which part of the film is dropped, but I will say it was a fairly inconsequential sequence that frankly just felt like someone tagged it on at the last minute, and its removal for the musical actually works to its benefit. If there's anything else to say about the musical film, I will say that there is at least one major cameo from the original film, and I'll leave it at that. While I was not a fan of the original Mean Girls film, I did especially love the musical film adaptation. Maybe it was the fact that the songs help improve the narrative, maybe it was that the story streamlined certain elements, or maybe it was the addition of social media to the story. Who knows? But for me, the 2024 adaptation of Mean Girls is really good. It's one of those films that really does work as a musical, just like it probably did in the 2000s as a comedy. If you love the original 2004 film, you will definitely enjoy this film. If someone like me, who did not like the original 2004 film, can enjoy the musical film adaptation, maybe you'll like it too. Mean Girls the Musical is now in theaters. The original Mean Girls is available to own on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital, and stream on Paramount Plus. Finally, I had originally planned to talk about some fanfiction, and to keep up with our theme about Mean Girls, I was actually going to look up some Mean Girls fanfiction, but unfortunately, when I tried looking up Mean Girls fanfiction, a lot of it was poorly written, was a bit mean-spirited, or in some cases, just transplanted the premise of Mean Girls onto other characters, and in most cases, pretty badly. Like, there were some in which they had the characters from the Netflix show Wednesday in the premise of Mean Girls. Or having the Mean Girl characters somewhere else, even if it didn't make any sense. Such as one story where they had one of the characters from Steven Universe deal with the Mean Girls premise in college. Even though that's not how any of that works. I was also going to possibly talk about the NFL playoffs, but the wild card round was so bad and one-sided, I might as well not. All I will say is, I'm disappointed both the Cowboys and Rams lost, and very surprised that the Packers won, so eager to see that game against the 49ers, I guess. So yeah, that's pretty much our show for today. And on that downer note... That is all the time we have for today's show. If you would like to know when the next episode comes out, remember to follow or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite stream provider. You can also follow me on social media at MrJoelGarcia9 on Instagram, Threads, and Twitter/X, as well as MrJoelGarcia on TikTok. Until next time, thank you for listening.